What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, sons of Mason, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Linked Humans. And our mission is, of course, to make the world of work a better place. Today, we are going to speak to an e-commerce company that likes to surprise intentionally. I like this. Lots to learn today, so let's start the show. Hey, Monica, welcome to the podcast.
Very happy to be here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So please let our listeners know who you are and what is it that you do.
Definitely. So I am the employer branding manager and talent communications manager here at Wish. I've been here for a little bit over a year, but I've been doing employer branding for a little bit too long. I don't want to put my age out there to all the listeners, but it's definitely been a passion of mine. And for those of you who don't know who Wish is, Wish is a mobile e-commerce platform. So if you're doing some aimless scrolling and shopping, you've probably stumbled upon our products. We have tons of products all over the globe, so definitely check us out. But I'm excited to be here. I love all things employer brands. It's the thing I geek out about, so it's an honor to be here with you.
Great. Okay. Well, I'll ask you later on how long you've been in the business. But so coming back to Wish, so we had Flipkart on the other week, which is kind of an e-commerce service over in India. I believe Wish is global. I've never used it myself, but I know people, friends and so on who have used it, and they said it's really good for, especially for prices. So it's surprisingly cheap. What are sort of the products that most people buy on there? And Monica, what do you buy on Wish yourself?
Well, I think, you know, we're global, so we have merchants all over the globe. We have our biggest primary hubs are going to be probably in EMEA and APAC. We are slowly starting to meander more into the North American market, but you can literally buy anything you can think of, from camping gear to fashion to household gadgets. So it's really a marketplace for all consumers. And like you mentioned, it's for the value conscious consumer. So if you're looking for something that you need it on the cheap, on the quick, on the fast, that's definitely something that we do. From my purchase history, I definitely am a fashion type of person. So if I'm looking for, now that it's getting chillier here in Chicago, I'm looking for scarves, for mittens. I'm starting to do some early Christmas shopping, which is crazy to think that it's already that time of the year. But I definitely have purchased some camping gear. And even for my fiance, he's like, hey, I saw this cool musical gear on Wish. Do you want to grab it for me? And so my purchase history is a little strange with his purchase history, but we've been using it and we've loved it ever since I started working there.
Great. So you're the perfect ambassador for the company then. Right.
Yes.
And where is the company based out of, and how many employees do you have?
Yeah. So our headquarters is in San Francisco, California, but we are global. So we do have offices and major hubs in Singapore, in Amsterdam, and in Toronto as well. But we are a flex first organization. So we have about 1,000 employees. And I would say that we now have employees from all over the world. So you don't have to live in California. Like I said, I'm in Chicago. I'm not going to California every day to go to work. So we definitely have embraced the remote work, the work from home, and it's also expanded our talent market, which is amazing. Definitely having some fellow Wishians in Chicago is definitely helpful whenever we get together and grab drinks and connect on Wish. So,
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So what is the talent challenge for Wish on a global basis?
I think you've probably heard this many times. We're a tech organization, so we are attracting tech talent. And I think the biggest struggle is everyone's attracting that type of market. And there's only so many people out there that fit those parameters. So we've definitely been kind of squeezed a little bit just because with hyper growth in the tech sector, that means that we have to get creative in how do we attract that top tech talent to come in, right? So we're still not a known name. Some people know us, some people don't know us. And so we're still kind of coming against that when it comes to brand recognition. And there's some big names out there in the tech sector, and they've got amazing perks, amazing things going on, and amazing projects. So we have to work a little bit harder, but I do think that being in the Bay Area, being in San Francisco, getting to see at least, you know, what Silicon Valley is doing to attract top talent. We've now meandered into the other hubs around the world. So it's helping being a remote company, but we still come into some barriers. We still come into some very popular names out there that we compete with. But it's definitely something everyone is dealing with nowadays, is there's just not enough people in tech. And hopefully we'll be able to attract some awesome folks to come, you know, join us here at Wish.
Yes. And speaking of attracting people, tell us about the employer brand function and its genesis and the structure and what it looks like today.
Yeah. So I am a team of one.
Hey.
Small but mighty for my single employer branders out there. But after Wish became a public organization in 2020, we realized that there was a need from employer branding and talent attraction. And so the organization leaned in and finding me to come and lead the employer branding team. I sit within the talent acquisition function. I know that that's a very common question, is where do you sit? Do you sit in marketing? Do you sit in HR? I do sit in talent acquisition. I was a recruiter many moons ago, and so I do have a little part of my heart as being a recruiter. But we decided that it's time. We are now a mature organization. At that point, we were about 10 years since the conception of Wish. And so we definitely wanted to make sure that not only are we branding ourselves for consumers and for merchants, but it was time to start branding ourselves as an employer of choice and putting out recruitment marketing on top of our general marketing for products. So started in 2020, I joined in 2021 and never looked back. And now we're rolling, you know, full steam ahead. And it's been great every step of the way.
Fantastic. And I think having a background as a recruiter makes you you can relate to the pain that a TA feels sometimes, and you have to have been there in the trenches to know what it's like.
Definitely.
Right. So you are in the TA, report to TA, you work with them. I guess you have some sort of positioning and EVP in place. If so, please let us know what it is, and can you break it down for us?
Yeah. So our EVP was created in late 2020, early 2021. Mm-hmm. And we have a full narrative that's associated with our corporate brand and mission. And we really partnered with our post, you know, going public crew. You know, we came into a part in our organization where we had individuals that were pre-IPO and post-IPO. And those are two different mindsets, skill sets, mentalities, backgrounds. And so we wanted to make sure that we waited until we were public to start talking about who we are and what's our DNA from a candidate perspective. And also, who are we as employees to be able to talk about our culture, our values out into the external market. And so we definitely have been growing our EVP. It's been evergreen, I believe. It's not something that's been set in stone and just left on a shelf and says, this is our EVP. We've been adapting it as we've grown and mature as a public organization. But the overall essence of our EVP is around discovering something truly extraordinary. And so it connects with our mission and purpose from a corporate standpoint around intentionally surprising. So it's this concept of you can make a merchant's day, a customer's day, a candidate's days. And even though we're small and mighty as a tech organization, you can find something truly awesome and surprisingly cool here. And so we definitely use that to our advantage. And we're very human here and we're real. I always say that I can bring my authentic, true, weird, quirky self to work every day. And so we wanted to make sure that our EVP talked about that, that you can let your freak flag fly, be who you are here. And I genuinely love that. And I think that distinguishes us a little bit from our competition is you don't have to worry about kind of stifling yourself here. You can truly be your true self, which I think is really important in an EVP as well.
Absolutely. And I want to pick up on something you mentioned about the pre-IPO and the post-IPO talent. Did you find that after the IPO that perhaps some people that were there on the journey leading up to the IPO, they lost interest and felt like now we've gone to corporate or something, now they want the next startup challenge? And the people that joined, were they more, they were looking for that more sort of established entity?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both, right? A lot of folks, especially in the tech sector, they love this agile working of getting a startup off the ground and get funding and get it moving and grooving. And I think that we have a little bit of that still, but like you said, now that we're a public organization, we have to abide by certain guidelines and compliances and more structure than I would say an early startup. And so we definitely had a different mentality from our pre-IPO to post-IPO talent. And so there was a little bit of an identity crisis on who we were, kind of right around that 2020-21 timeframe. And you know, we're in the midst of a turnaround here at Wish. And so a lot of those folks that were there from the beginning have left for those startup opportunities because that's where they flourish. And so we are looking now at a different tech candidate sector versus, you know, we just want someone to mold a startup, for example, versus someone that's going to come in and has some more corporate experience. So it definitely was a struggle. I do think that now that we're in 2022, we have identified kind of what's our secret sauce on who we look for and our key traits that we look for that make successful people here successful. So it's definitely been unique. It's definitely been different. We've gone through a lot of changes. We have a brand new leadership team, a brand new CEO. You know, we've been working very lean, very, you know, we're thinking about this turnaround and what can we do to be part of that turnaround. And we really are looking for candidates to come here and roll up their sleeves and make an impact. And some people don't want to do that, right? They want to come into a finished product and work on that finished product. So it's been a little bit of a challenge, but I think as our recruiting team has realized, there are a lot of people there that have that startup mentality, but love the structure of working in a more public corporate world. And I think that that's been very helpful for us.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So I guess after 10 years of being in a company, it's been some big changes at this juncture. Yes. Yeah. And we'll be excited to see where the next 10 years take us. Okay, so you've got this sort of positioning there around intentionally surprising, etc. How do you go about activating this? Where would talent find your narrative and your storytelling?
Yeah, we definitely started from kind of building a foundation. We really didn't have anything out there, probably in early 21 even. So we definitely wanted to make sure that we started telling stories. The first thing when we came to activation is, what are the stories we want to tell? Who are our internal culture champions to say this story? And how do we internalize it first before going external? So a lot of our activation started around internally activating it, finding those pockets of champions that we can talk to, hear, why do you love working at Wish? Why do you continue to come to work every day and do what you do? And once we gathered all of those stories, that's when we really started activating externally. I'm a huge proponent around social. I think that we're all social beings. I would be the first to say that I have been caught dooms scrolling on social platforms for a little bit too long, to be frank. But ever since the pandemic, we've been consuming social content in masses. And so a lot of what we're doing is we're growing, you know, our Instagram, our TikTok, our LinkedIn, especially from just more career focused content. And so we really wanted to make sure that we were posting there those stories, those updates. What are we doing? How's it happening? Things like that. We also have, you know, more traditional mediums from an activation perspective. You know, we have a career page, we have talent communities, we have campaigns and in-mails and all that fun stuff. But I think our biggest success right now is on the social piece. It invigorates, you know, our culture champions to tell their story, and then they get their spotlight out there. And then it also is a great way to add some realness around who we are and some supporting documentation when we speak to candidates. And it's out there, and we're thought leaders. And it's not just, you know, here's our benefits, here's what we offer. It's here, listen to Joanna's story about why she loves being a software engineer at Wish. And so it definitely creates a more realness around it. Yeah. So we've definitely been doing a lot around that. And now we're starting to meander into kind of this new demographic around early careers. And what does that look like? And where do they sit from a social perspective? You know, especially the difference between where millennials sit versus Gen Z is, and how they consume content is very different. And so we need to make sure that we are attracting for all generations, but at the same time, leaning into the places where that next generation of innovative talent sits and how do you talk to them? Because it's completely different on how you talk to a millennial or a Gen Xer or even baby boomers. And so we've definitely been brainstorming around how do we bring social in a new way versus just the platforms as well.
Okay, so what's the secret recipe then? I take it, so early careers, we won't find them on LinkedIn, perhaps. Where are they? Snap, TikTok?
I think right now it's going to be TikTok. And I think the best places for us to find them is through short form content. You have to grasp them quickly and effectively. And you also have to come in with truly showcasing who you are and not sugarcoating it. Like, being real is very important. There is a social platform called Be Real, which is, that's where everyone is sitting right now. And so I would not be surprised if, from a branding perspective, corporations are going to start penetrating the Be Real platform, because it's stripping down what social media used to be about. Here are the good things about my life. Here are the good things and perks that companies offer. And it's stripping it down and saying, this is who we are. These are our goals. This is what we're doing from a mission, our purpose. The younger demographic will call you out if you're not aligning with their goals and where they want to go with their life. And so you have to be stealthy about how do you do that in short form content. So TikTok, I think, is the best place to do that, because it's in 60 seconds, the 3 minutes, if you want to, quick, vivid, let's go. And so I think that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time, because they're not reading blogs. They're not reading articles really on LinkedIn. And so it's really, how do we penetrate that short form content and video content? I do think video is still very prominent in all generations. We love consuming videos.
Yes, absolutely. Especially the short form ones like TikTok. And give us an example of what your most successful update or potential future update might look like. What could an early careers person, what will they see on their screen?
Yeah, I think our best ones is we've created kind of this influencer mentality, right? And so a lot of our videos are going to be around like day in the life of Wish. And so it's 30 seconds. What do you do from your 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.? Like, what do you do to prepare for work? What do you do from your 9 to 5? And then what do you do from your 5 to 9? And that's really been helpful with us to showcase our flexibility, our work-life balance, but also gets to showcase like from the background of like, what does it mean to be a product manager at Wish? And what do I get to do? Do I sit in on meetings all day? Do I get to collaborate with team members? How does Wish create a culture remotely versus being in the office? Things like that. So I think that's been really successful for us. And also the weird, quirky content that we have, right? So we've had, you know, our pets being dressed up for Halloween and what costumes we got on the Wish platform to dress up our pets, like things like that, where it has an employee undertone, but it's not, this is employer branding content being smacked in your face. It's really truly just here's who we are and what we're doing versus, you know, it being more extremely rigid and career focused. So that's been really helpful for us. And we're going to continue to push that with that weird, quirky, cool kind of vibe. I think that's definitely what we're going to continue doing.
Great. And I can imagine you have some people inside the business who are very skilled at creating this sort of content and perhaps enjoy doing it outside of work anyway. How do you identify these people and how do you get others to get on the bus and say, you know, because now we've done 10 videos already. Now we're looking for the people who are perhaps not the influencers, but they still have interesting jobs and lives. And how do we document this?
Yes, I have had a lot of success partnering with our employee resource groups. And so that is definitely where the most engaged employees, in my opinion, are, especially from a diversity and inclusion perspective. So we definitely started there. These are folks that have a very common voice. They want to work together. They want to talk about Wish and they also want to diversify Wish, right? So we definitely started there when it comes to influencers and what we can do from brand ambassadorship. And then we also are starting some campaigns around creating ambassadorship like swag for Wish, right? So here's a ring light, here's a tripod, like as a beginning influencer, you know, what do you get? And so we've definitely started swagging up our employees to be able to showcase the Wish brand out in the open because all of us have phones, all of us have cameras. And so we've definitely started positioning that with events and different things just to kind of capture those who are kind of more maybe, let's say, individual contributors that are working for a team that is in Amsterdam and they never get to come into the office in San Francisco, for example. So we're definitely trying to, you know, equip our those who want to be ambassadors with tools to be ambassadors, right? I've also opened this concept where I am a team of one, so I don't know everybody. So I've been doing office hours and quick coffee chats with just random people. I've been just creating this roulette of all of our employees and I spin it once a month and I say, who am I going to meet with next week? And that way I can get in front of folks and talking to individuals. It's a great way for me to network with other teams and see what they're doing from, you know, a product perspective or a tech standpoint or in marketing. But then if they find somebody to go to and say, I have an idea. Hey, Monica, do you want to do this? And it creates collaboration and they know who I am and they can come to me. So that's been very helpful too. It might not work for those who work for very large organizations, but for us, we have less than 1,000 employees. It's easy for me to be able to meet with someone once a month and get to know them and say, hey, would you be interested in doing X? It's been very helpful for me.
I love that idea. Is that an app that's been spin the wheel to figure out who to talk?
It's a glorified, beautiful Excel spreadsheet that I created, and it's just a randomizer. It's nothing sexy, nothing cool, but my HRIS team sends me every month the new hires, who I need to remove, who I need to add, and it's just my beautiful, you know, randomizer. It's nothing cool. Yeah. I should have a big wheel behind me with everyone's names and I should make it like a game show. I feel like that would be super fun, but I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay. Well, maybe we can all collaborate on that one. It's a fantastic idea. Something I try to stimulate here at Link Humans as well, because people work in different teams and different locations and there are new people coming on board. It's a great way to network. Good stuff. Okay, so moving on to measuring results. Have you been able to deliver any success to and metrics to your TA leadership? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, so we formally launched an employee NPS score. So we do that every month internally, where we send out a survey for folks to provide anonymous feedback. And every month, me and a small team look over those results. And I take a look at it from a more of a career standpoint and culture standpoint. It's also a great pulse to see what's happened this month from an organizational perspective. and what can we do better? Because retention is also part of employer brand, right? It's not just attracting talent, it's keeping talent within your organization. So we've definitely been using those metrics, and we do pulse surveys throughout the year. We also have an engagement survey that I go through extensively to see what are the key trends, either positive or negative, that we need to address. And we definitely look at qualitative metrics as well. So, you know, everyone hates reading the text bubbles on a survey because it's not numerical data, but that's where I spend a lot of my time, reading through those who provide verbal feedback. If you take the time to do that, that means that it's important to you as an employee. So I take the time to read it. And so we definitely started there. And then we also take a look at engagement. You know, what are our candidates saying from a candidate experience perspective? What are our hiring managers saying from a recruitment process perspective? And then bottom line, are we winning awards? I think awards are the biggest way to measure, you know, are we a best place to work? Are we an employer of choice? Where are there awards that we can strive to work towards for next year? So a little bit of the guts and glory and, you know, getting some awards to put on our career page, on our website, on video content, things like that. So I think those three things are really important to us. And then, of course, we measure social media engagement and who's clicking, where they're clicking from, things like that. But I do think that qualitative feedback with that data is equally as important.
Yeah, absolutely. Here at Link Humans, we're all about the open questions and answers, and really analyzing what people are really saying, as opposed to scoring, you know, 9 out of 10 or 3 out of 5. So I think sometimes people just click just to get through those surveys. So yeah, if they take the time to leave something meaningful, substantive feedback, then we should take the time to read it.
Definitely.
Fantastic. Great. So, Monica, what would be your top 3 tips for employer brand professionals tuning into this episode today?
Yes. So I think my number one is partnerships with internal stakeholders. Yeah. Leaders are also included in those stakeholders. But my biggest wins in my career have always been with other individuals outside of my function. So, for example, my key stakeholder group has social media, marketing, copywriting, comms. And then I always make sure that there's someone from engineering sitting at the table, just so that I can make sure that I know exactly what's happening in each of those business units and they know what I'm doing. So one, we're not spending double the money on campaigns or creative or especially work, but also there might be something really cool happening in the product org that I might not have visibility to. That would be an amazing thing to showcase externally for our talent that's coming in, right? So definitely, you know, network within your internal teams. And our CHRO has been phenomenal at connecting those dots. So if you are uncertain on who to connect with, partner with your director of talent or your chief HR officer. They know who you can talk to, especially those who are small but mighty teams. And then having those individuals will be very helpful for you. So that would be my first piece. My second is be creative. Employer branding is so cool. It's unique. It's different. Push the needle, bring the kitchen sink in with ideas, and then, you know, narrow it down from there and follow your passions. I'm a recruiter at Hard, like I mentioned, but I have a passion for social media. And so I sit with my social team and they show me what's cool, what's coming up, what they've seen from their standpoint. I include the copywriters on what language is working. And they've been showing me creative ways to kind of push the limit on what we can put out there. So be creative. Don't be scared to be creative. And I think the third piece is it's okay if you don't have a budget. I have been in budget planning for next year, for example, and every organization wants to make sure that we're not asking for multi-million-dollar, you know, solutions to our problems. It's okay to do things, and there's plenty of amazing free resources out there. I am a huge Canva user. It's free. Yeah. And it creates amazing branding content. And if you do want to pay for it, it's relatively inexpensive to do so. So you don't have to ask for an external creative agency to spend X amount of dollars to create something for you. You could always do it if you don't have a creative team in house to do it for you. So leverage the free resources out there. It's okay. They provide amazing support, especially if you're not Photoshop savvy. Like, I'm still learning Photoshop, but I am a Canva queen. I love Canva. I've been using it for a very long time. So it's okay to not spend the money for elaborate support. There are tons of free resources that you can leverage to create awesome content or try creative new content without having to spend a big dollar amount to do so. So those are probably my key three things that I've learned in my career. In this space, but also in other spaces as well, especially as a recruiter, free things are your best friend, right? So those are probably my three.
Excellent. Thank you. Good shout out for Canva. They were actually on the podcast about 6 months ago, I think. They are, of course, also challenged with hiring tech people and so on in a slightly different way. But yes, it's a wonderful tool. Great. So, Monica, this is the point where I ask you how many years you've been doing this this role or in this function.
I have been in this function in some way, shape, or form for over 10 years. I'm no longer a green-eyed, you know, newbie in this space. So it's been a little bit of time.
Okay. All right. 10 years. That's good. Double digits. So yes. There must be something very special about it. What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What is it you look forward to? Why do you love Employer Brand?
Honestly, I love being able to showcase a company that I love working for, mm-hmm. and creating things that I'm passionate about internally, since clearly I work there, but being able to make that impact and find people that could create the next best thing, especially here at Wish. That's why I love this space. It not only helps my recruiters find those people, but it also creates a place to showcase how awesome the company I work for is. And so that's probably the one thing I love about it. And it spans all functions. So I love having multiple plates spinning at every time in different avenues. And it allows you to really branch out and do things in spaces that sometimes you would never have the opportunity to do so. So I think those are probably my top two things.
Fantastic. Great. So you just like Wish then, that was the first 10 years. I'm sure hopefully, well, we'll have to check in, hopefully sooner than the next 10 years.
Yes. But, that's
great to hear. Right. So final question for you, Monica, where can our listeners connect with yourself? And where can they learn more about Wish?
Yes. So if connecting with me is what you would love to do, my LinkedIn profile is my first and last name. There's only one of me, so it should be very easy to find. And if you want to learn more about Wish and what we do, we have our careers page, which is wish.com/careers. And on all major social platforms, we are just Wish, W-I-S-H. And you can find us on LinkedIn, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, basically everything. So that's where you can find more about us from a career perspective. And if you would like to be a customer of Wish, you can find us in the iOS and Android App Store as just Wish.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, folks, there we have it. Be sure to reach out to Monica on the socials. And thank her ever so much for sharing her insights. And if you are interested in measuring employer brand, talent brand, employer reputation, or whatever label your organization puts on it, be sure to check out the Link Humans Index. You can find it at linkhumans.com, or feel free to get in touch with me and I'll tell you all about it. Finally, to subscribe to this podcast or to find our show notes articles, head on over to employerbrandingpodcast.com. That is it. Thank you so much for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey!
Why was Star Trek so successful?
Don't know.
It had good genes.
Don't get it.
It was created by Gene Roddenberry.
Ah, okay. All right. That's, yeah.
You have to know. You have to be in the...